Join me in chapter 5 of the book of James as we enter into the final chapter of our brother's sermon. And throughout the book, James has had some very distinct and pointed things to say. Very short in his message and words and very practical. However, in the beginning of chapter 5, he gets even more pointed and right blunt. And I wish I could sugarcoat the message a little bit for you, but I'm not. Because we today in the United States, in a very materialistic driven world, need to hear James's message to his people that day, but also to us in our day. The title of the sermon. Typically, I try to put a very positive spin or a positive address, a positive note in the title. Not this time. If you see the title, The Poison of Wealth. And as I read this passage to you, I think you will see the message there. James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and you will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy and errant word. A nobleman who lived in the neighborhood of a minister one day asked him to dine with him. Before dinner, they walked into the garden, and after viewing the various buildings, manicured walkways, flowers, and statues with which the garden was filled, the nobleman, his lordship, explained, "Well, Reverend, you can see that I want for nothing, and I have all that my heart can wish for." The Reverend made no reply, but appeared thoughtful. The lordship asked the reason for his nonverbal response. The reverend finally spoke, "Why, my lord, a man would have all these things and go to hell after all." The statement profoundly struck the nobleman, and through the blessing of God, he was converted right there in his own garden. Jesus says in Matthew 19:23, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The rich man of our opening story was redeemed. God showed his blessing to him. However, most biblical teaching will confirm for many, wealth is an obstruction. It provides a barrier. It is a barrier to the grace and glory of God. Here James once again takes us down the road toward humility, being humbled. And here he points out how our wealth can be, if improperly held before God, can and will remove humility from a person. Just like the prophets of old, James is making the mind of God aware to the people. He's making the mind and teaching of God known to the people. He's teaching the people, and you and I also, and calling us to live on our lives pleasing to God. And here he very distinctly, and as I said, in very blunted fashion, points out the potential poison of wealth. A biblical, godly respect for our wealth is a position of humility. Should be a position of humility. Ecclesiastes 5 teaches us, everyone to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, all of this is a gift from God. Deuteronomy 8. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your forefathers. Wealth is not wrong. Wealth in and of itself is not wrong. However, if held improperly, as pointed out in James's words here, they can be more than a detriment. Let's look into his teaching. First of all, in verse 1, he says, "Come now, you rich." Now, who is he speaking to? There are those today who would debate that he is speaking to those outside his church. Well, I am not one of those. I think he's speaking to his church because the entire letter is written to the people of his church who have been dispersed. So these are in his church. These are folks that have been in his church and have been blessed and are now in danger because of their increased financial abilities, and they've begun abusing the people. But who specifically is James speaking to here? John Calvin, in relation to this text, said he is speaking to those who, being immersed in pleasures, inflated with pride, thought of nothing but of the world, and who devoured everything, for they, by their tyranny, oppressed others, as it appears from the entire passage. The rich are simply those within the church who sought pleasure above the well-being of others. And you will see it even turned to abusing others so that they might extend their pleasure. He calls on the rich to weep and to howl. To weep and to howl for the miseries that are coming. Should that be a message to us today? To the rich? And please use the definition I've just given you of rich, those who seek out pleasure to the abuse of others. What miseries are coming to these? In verse 3, he speaks of the last days. In verse 7, which we will cover next week, he has people looking forward to the second coming. So the entire context, the entire perception here is that you should be a person looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as Scripture teaches us, always be prepared, for he comes like a thief in the night. You don't know when he's coming, but we'd always be prepared. These are not doing that. They're laying up their treasures. They're storing up their gold and silver for all of the days to come. The misery that is coming to them is that which they will find when the Lord Jesus comes and holds them accountable for their deeds. So what are the deeds that James points out here that has gotten them into so much trouble? There are four. First of all is hoarding. These people are hoarding. Secondly, there is fraud. Thirdly, there is overindulgence. And fourthly, there is betrayal. First of all, let's look at hoarding. We all know what hoarding is. I forget which network has a popular series, hoarding. How many of us watch intently? I know some of you do, and you didn't raise your hand. Hoarding. Hoarding, simply defined, is an overabundant supply of something hidden. Hidden. Verse 2 and 3, your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. The hoarding of material wealth, the garments are stored away, not in use, stored away, being moth-eaten. Gold and silver show marks of disuse, meaning being stored up without being used for the glory of God, as we are taught in the parable of talents. The rich have laid up their treasures in the last days, hiding it, holding it out, storing it up for their own safety and their own use, instead of using that wealth. As I said, the parable of talents teaches us using that wealth to bring the master's, glory. In reality here, what we see is the true identification of safety. The true identification of what they have their trust in. It is in my stuff. And my stuff is stored away just in case I need it. Just in case I want it. It's there, stored up, hoarding. James says, you have laid up your treasures in the last days instead of looking for the coming of the Lord. Their security, their faith, their trust is in their riches. We would be guilty of this. Some would be guilty of this. I know one individual, one gentleman whose savings account, I blew my mind. It lowered below $100,000 and he went into panic. I thought, Second, James mentions this fraud. Look at verse 4. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. The rich landowner is not paying for his labor. The rich landowner is working to get the best deal he can for the cheapest fee. But notice this phrase of who hears the cries of these who are being abused, the Lord of hosts. Why would James use that term? He's not used it anywhere at all before. The Lord of hosts is a military term. We see God referred to as the Lord of hosts as he's leading his armies, as he's leading his military, his angels out against the enemy. The Lord of hosts. God will bring justice to these. God will bring justice to these who are abusing those by not paying a fair price for a fair labor. Next we have indulgence. Verse 5. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. A life of luxury, extravagant life, self-indulgent, using pleasure to an extreme, moving to that point of vice, moving to that point where you have no regard, no discipline. Whatever is there is yours to have. There is no restraint. You have the money, so you must be able to afford it. It should be yours. No discipline. Self-indulgent, fattened oneself. Then James moves to betrayal. In reality, all of these are betrayal. All of these are betrayal of one sort or another. But here he's mentions it specifically in verse 6, you have condemned and murdered the righteous person. The righteous are being abused by the desires of the rich. The righteous man, the righteous woman who is trying to live an obedient life is now being abused by this one who is named rich. The righteous are being manipulated for the advancement of the rich. Here is the gravest of all accusations being made by James. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. And notice he says he does not resist you. Sounds a lot like our Lord Jesus, doesn't it? In the day he was condemned, the day he was betrayed, for 30 pieces of silver he was betrayed. And the righteous person, the righteous man he is, had very little to say. God's people will be protected in the last days. Justice will reign over these who abuse the righteous. But to sum all this up, Paul writes, the love of money is the root of all evil. We know that. We hear that. Paul continues, it is this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. How many have wandered away from the goodness of the faith because of their wealth? How many have wandered away from the church because the affluence of the world around us is just too much to turn away from? I admit to you, it is very hard. It is incredibly challenging. when you see the affluence of those around you, and you're living paycheck to paycheck. It's very difficult when at one time you had, but then when you go into the Lord's ministry, Justin, Hannah, you don't have as the world sees having. But we need to ensure that we understand the position of wealth as the biblical teaching gives us. One commentator writes, there is no sin in being rich. There is no sin in being rich. Where sin arises from the rich, it arises in this manner. And he gives 3 points. First, the manner in which the wealth is acquired. Did you come by your wealth biblically, legally? Secondly, the spirit in which it tends to engender or provoke the heart. Sin arises there. And then thirdly, the way in which it's used. How do you use your wealth? This phrase engenders the heart. The way in which the money stimulates or provokes the heart into abuse. This is the greatest sin. The love of money and the misplaced trust in it causes the heart to turn and begin regarding the money, the wealth, as the thing to be honored and worshiped and followed, rather than using the wealth as an instrument, as a means of glorifying God. Once again, Paul writes, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Folks, the Christian is challenged greatly by worldly wealth. The Christian is challenged greatly by worldly wealth. He creates a battle that prevents one from walking humbly. And see, the entire message of these last sermons from James is humility. It's hard to be rich. It's hard to be rich and to be humble at the same time. Each of us must walk humbly before the Lord. Those of us in this room who are rich, and on worldly standards, every one of us in this room are. We must all live our lives humbly, using that blessing, that resource, that growth or expanse, and whatever it might be, should be used in humble reliance upon God. Wealth, it can be a poison, or it can be one of the greatest instruments God has allowed you to use. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, harsh words from a pastor, James, who loves his people, but sees them straying, and so he comes with harsh words. I come with harsh words. Because we as a church, we as a people, we as a nation need to hear. The rich should be weeping and howling if it is their wealth that they worship. But Father, for each person in this room, we have to come to grips with this message as you would have us individually. We all have wealth in one form, fashion, or another. You have blessed us greatly. Bless us in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.